Well, this is the concluding section of our studies on God's big picture, an overview of God's Bible story, an overview of God's plan to establish his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, as we've just read, to bring heaven to earth and for God to dwell forever with his people. And so far, we got up to last week, we got to what Easter has done. Easter has brought us to knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the climax of the establishment of God's present kingdom on earth, where Jesus Christ establishes the true Israel for God's people. We find our place to be the true Israel in the Lord Jesus. That in the Lord Jesus we find the place where God is. This is the true tabernacle, the true temple. No physical buildings, no rocks to be placed one upon the other. Nothing that can be torn down again, but something that is eternally established in Christ. And that we find God's true rule and blessing in Christ. Here is the climax, the pinnacle of God's plan. That perfect world of Eden, and we remember that there was the fall and the promise that God would establish his kingdom, his people in his place under his rule and blessing, has moved through the law and conquest and kings and prophetic hope and the birth and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we are in the time now of the last days, where between Jesus' first coming and anticipating his second coming that will bring into place the things we just read about in Revelation. That these last days were inaugurated with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, as we saw happened in Cornelius's house. He was a mark that God's people were marked forever. We're told in the Revelation that they bear his name on their foreheads. We know that we have the Holy Spirit in us individually as we come to know the Lord Jesus, and in us as a people of God. And yet we're in a time where we're saying, it doesn't sound like this perfect place that we have just, John has seen in a revelation, where there's no more tears, there's no more death. We're in a place where we're still battling it, and we're finding death all around us. The news, the breaking news of yesterday in Sydney, where someone goes berserk, literally, and kills people. We go, Lord, why? I thought you had come to bring everything to climax. Is this the climax? And yet there seems there's this delay. And Peter, in fact, asked Jesus about this, and then knows that his people were asking, why are we delaying? Why are we living in a now and not yet? And in 2 Peter chapter 3 we read, do not overlook this one face, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. We say, well, thanks God, just because your timing isn't quite the same as ours, do we now have to wait 1,000 years is just but one day for you? And one of the things that we know about God is that he is anxious. He greatly desires that all will know him. And so in these last days, the gospel is being proclaimed so that more people will know. These last days are days of the kingdom being proclaimed. So at Pentecost, the Spirit came and was received. And he put into place that commission that you will go into the world and you will share the good news. The disciples told at the beginning of Acts that you will go to not just Jerusalem, not just Judea, not just to the enemy, Samaria, but you will go to the uttermost parts of the earth and you will share the gospel. And my friends, do you know that there are still people who have not heard? We know there are people who don't follow the Lord Jesus, and there are quite a lot of people who have heard about the Lord Jesus and have said, no thanks. But there are many people, including in Australia, who have never heard about Jesus. And so God is saying there is a time these last days where we are waiting for the good news to be spread throughout the whole world, because this Holy Spirit brings new birth. The old is put away and the new comes. And when we say, Lord, how can we possibly go and make sure that the world hears this good news? The Holy Spirit says, I'm with you. All that you need to share the good news, the things that give you courage when you feel very nervous, the things that help you to go, this person actually would like to hear, and so prompts you. The Holy Spirit is here to equip us and to produce in us and the church holiness. That is, people who live under God's rule and blessing. People who've turned to the Lord. And so we know that in that early time, the gospel spread. The Acts of the Apostles is a record of the blessing of Abraham that comes to all. And so the map shows that known world that Paul travelled and Peter travelled and Timothy and others who followed on in those first centuries to make sure that people began to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus. We know there was great persecution in Jerusalem. So what do people do when they're persecuted? They run, as we are seeing in so many parts of the world. Places where people just run to wherever they can, sometimes just over the border. And so one of, you know, the biggest refugee camps in the world is in Syria. It's not exactly the safest place to be a refugee, is it? But then if you come on a boat to Australia, it's not a very safe place either. People run, and the people took the good news of Jesus with them. One of the things about people arriving on our shores is that people who might not be allowed to hear the gospel in their own country come to a place where we are free to share it. And so they can hear the good news of Jesus because they arrive here in Australia. And what do they hear? Well, that the work of salvation from sin has been completed. Jesus died once and for all, that our sin and death is dealt with. In this present age, we know the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. And we look to the presence of God when he's going to come and live amongst us like he did before. But there'll be new heaven that comes to the new earth. And in the meantime, the power of God is at work to bring about people coming to know the Lord Jesus and living out the fruits of God's Spirit. We're in this time where the kingdom is to be proclaimed, where God's people are to be the church, believers from all nations. All these people that have inherited the promise to Abraham that your descendants, Abraham, in my name, you will not be able to count them. And that God's place is the body of Christ, his people. And so people are drawn in to being part of that body of Christ, to being in God's temple. The temple, my father always used to remind me, remember. This used to get more urgent as I was going to go off to university and leave home. Was remember that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything to it that you wouldn't want to happen to the temple of the Holy Spirit. Good warning, really. 18 and at university for the first time. But that in this proclaimed kingdom, we live in a relationship with God that was not possible before the Lord Jesus. God's Holy Spirit used to touch people of particular times, like Saul, like King David, like Elijah. It would come for specific purposes, but now the Spirit is made for all who know the Lord Jesus. So there's a relationship with God we found last week that is not impaired by our sin, but that God sees us through the Lord Jesus. We have this relationship with God. And so we're in this looking and anticipating the new creation under God. Where our relationships with God will be restored. Do you remember this picture from the very first, session that we had on this? Where God made a creation, where the relationships between God and the earth, and God and humankind and the earth, and humankind and one another, were absolutely perfect. This is what God is pointing us to and empowering. That the river of life will flow from the throne. Remember, through Eden, there was a river. And now this river will come from the throne of God. And there will stand the tree of life, bearing much fruit for the healing of the nations. And that people will live in a new Jerusalem, not one built of stone, but one where God is with them all the time, everywhere. In this city, there is a new temple. Just let me read to you from what Vaughan Roberts writes. It is striking that the city John sees is a perfect cube that is just like the Holy of Holies in the temple where God's presence had been focused. Remember that inner sanctum where there was a curtain and a Holy of Holies, a small area, and only one man, the high priest, was able to enter it, which he did once a year? Now this whole new city is a Holy of Holies. It's even measurable. 1,500 miles square. That's about as large as the known world in John's day. So the whole world is covered by this Holy of Holies. The point is clear. There will be no special place in the new creation where God's presence will be concentrated and no holy building to go to if we want to meet with him. The whole place is a temple. And that's why we read I didn't see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There will be no distance between us and God anymore. We shall know him perfectly. While our connection with God is a perfect one, it is still to be perfected. There are many times when we don't understand God. We read his word and we go, really? I don't know. Do you understand what's written there? There are things that, is that contradicting what I read? You know, we grapple with the word of God, whether we hear it read, whether we read it ourselves. But we will have a perfect understanding of God in this new heaven and this new earth. God's dwelling place is now amongst his people. He will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. A completion of God's kingdom of all nations. All of those who have turned to God from all places gathered around the throne. There's an amazing picture of that in Revelation 7, where John says, I see people from all nations. I see those wearing white robes. They have been washed clean by the Lord Jesus Christ. The old will have been put away. God will have dealt with. We read that God deals with evil forever, ever, ever. Having dealt with evil builds the new creation with nothing to mar it. It was repeated several times in our reading that it will be light. Don't need to wait for the sun to rise. It will always be daytime. The Lord their God will be their light. And the reign, the rule, the blessing is eternal. My friends, we live in this in-between time, these last days, the last days in which we're being given time to share the good news that we know, that the Lord Jesus once for all has dealt with our sin, that the Lord Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit to be with us and to equip us to be God's servants, God's ministers. I think we don't always think about ourselves as God's ministers. Do you notice that I say that in the plural? And I say that not only because Peter's here and there's two of us, as it were. That's because it's all of us. Remember last week I talked to you about, are you going to For the Love of God conference? And a number of people came up to me afterwards and said, but it's only for clergy. I said, no, it's not. What? I mean, I was perhaps a little dismissive or something, but I went, what made you think that? We've been putting the notice up, we've been putting it in the message. What? But it says, talk about your ministry. That's what ministers do. That's what clergy do. My friends, we are all called to serve the Lord. That's what a minister is someone who ministers to you. It's not just the chief minister in the government or the ministers who have portfolios. We all have a portfolio to follow the Lord Jesus, to take on the power of his Spirit and to share what we know of the Lord Jesus with those who happen to come and bump into you. Or perhaps you bump into them deliberately, whichever way you put it. You may be very intentional, and as a church, we intentionally think, how can we best not just serve our community, lots of people serve the community, but how can we serve the community with the love and the salvation story of the Lord Jesus? That's our particular calling. We're all called to love and to be kind to people, but we're also called to share that there is hope. There is a certain hope now in the Lord Jesus. So we are, in fact, I'm sorry, all of us called to be ministers. That's why we're all going to this conference, aren't we? Perhaps I won't ask everyone to put their hand up this morning. Friends, this is part of God's eternal blessing. Starts not just with blessing us, but blessing others through us. It's been God's plan from the beginning. When he made the world, it was a world to have a relationship with him and with one another. Filled with his love, with his holiness, with his glory. That's where he's taking us, through the Lord Jesus. And that's our calling as the people of God. Amen.